Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Beis tonight. Okay, 42a Mem Beis, the top line. Okay, Manitin. Hamafkid Chaveiro. If Ru, let's say Reuben gives money to Shimon to keep an eye on the money, and then Sroran v'Shilan Achorav, and then he Shimon bundles the money together, and he throws it over, behind his back. Both Sroran Novi or and we had this mission earlier, a different scenario. Shimon the Shomer, he gives it over to his minor children, let's say his 10-year-olds. But now Albafnaim in other words, he says, keep an eye on this money. And he locks the daughter, the door, not in an appropriate way, like they could get out or whatever. And then, lo and behold, the money disappears or it's stolen. So he's chayev, he the Shomer is chayev, Shloshimer Kederach HaShomer. He didn't guard it the way Shomerim are normally expected, the standard in the community. He dropped below the standard for Shmirim. He says, "V'im shimer k'derech hashomer patur." But if he did observe the standard of the community, then he's patur. Okay, let's take a look in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam kulu shloshimer k'derech hashomerim." So the Gemara, I don't understand why he says kulu, but he really means, I think, that like the second case. In other words, I understand you gave it to your minor kids and you didn't lock the door properly, so that's shloshimer k'derech hashomerim. If he takes the money, he the Shomer takes the money and throws it over his shoulder. My Havalei the member, what more should he have done? What's so inferior with that? So Amar Rava, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Kra, it's Tartah Kesef Biyadva. So it's talking about here about Maaser Sheni, that you'll bundle the money in your hand, but meaning Af Pishat Sruri in Yubiyata, even though it's like bundled together, it should be Yadka. But it means he should have his eye on the money. In other words, not like when he's not throwing the money behind you. You remember the Gemara Ksubas says that when it was coming, when he wanted to give the tzedakah, he would throw the money on his back and then go and the Ganim would just take it. But it means you don't know what's going on when you can't have your eyes on it. So you have to have your eyes on it. That's what the Gemara is saying. So okay. So let's see. Yeah, well. But at least if it's somebody else's money. But Amr Yitzchak, the Lomihei Kaspo Shlomatsui Biado. So Agav Orcha, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak says, a person's money should always be Matsui Biado. You should have the money, like now you're saying, right. In other words, look at Rashi, the second line, Matsui Biado. So Matsui Biado means, you want to say that the money should always be at my disposal. In other words, if I need the money, I should have it, easily that I could get access to my money right away. So Rashi says, "Matsui biado lo yafkidenu la'achirim b'makom acher." I shouldn't give. Let's say I have $10,000. I'll give it to, Shimon. He's in Rochester. I'm in New York. That's not what the Gemara says. Shinzdamino sechora. If he has like a sudden business opportunity, he needs to get a hold of the money. It shouldn't be the money's not accessible to him. But Amr Yitzchak, Yulam yashlishdam ma'otav. So Rabbi Yiska says a person should have a diverse financial portfolio. He says, Shlish Bekarka, one third of his assets should be invested in real property. Ushlish Bekarpatya, one third of his assets be invested in merchandise. Ushlish Takedido, and then one third available to him, as he may need it. Okay, but I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, in a bracha mitzuya, el b'dvaras samui minayim. Says bracha. It's only shora, it's only found, something which is hidden from a person's eyes. So then he says, Shenemar, Yitzhava Shamichara Bracha Ba'asamecha. So the Pshuto Shamikra means Hashem will direct a bracha ba'asamecha, means like your silos, but he's darshing the word. We look at Rashi, the first narrow line, Ba'asamecha, Darshtadashon Devar Hasamui Minayin. In other words, he's learning Ba'asamecha, Devar Samui Minayin, something which is hidden from the eyes, like hidden, like. Ksuma is like blind, but it's hidden from the eyes. He says, "Tana Devi Rabbi Shmuel, the bracha was taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel in a bracha mitzuya l'dvar shein ayin shaletet bo, that a bracha is only found on something that the ayin is not shaletet bo." So here, this second, this brisa is learning about asamecha in the simple pshat. There was a Hashem will give a bracha in the silo, but it means you don't see what's in the silo, so that'll be where the bracha goes. All right, now we'll pause. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right.
What is the second one that one is the karka, one is the Frakmatia, that's
Yeah,
merchandise.
merchandise, right?
What does that mean?
Means, you're buying a hundred,
Commodity.
you want to buy 100 widgets and sell them. Say again,
Yeah,
repeat.
but
What? Well, it depends on what you, you could have, a person could be like a leather worker, you know what I mean? I mean, business could be different things for business, but he's saying like, well, all right. All right, let me
I
go
don't
back to it.
understand that formula.
Which is the part you don't understand?
The
All
Karka, one third, I
the
understand.
wait,
Meeting,
one third in real property that you got,
that's
one
Karka.
third in merchandise. In other words, let's
That I
say
don't got.
well, why not? In other words, I sell widgets, so I'll buy one third of my assets will
Cars.
be
Let's
for
say I'm a car dealer.
Michael's cars anyway, but like widgets. So you have one third of your assets are invested in widgets, and you'll
In
sell the widgets.
business inventory, that's what they're
Right,
saying.
right, right. Okay, and then
And one third to be
one third
liquid,
available for the
to be
use of the.
liquid.
Right.
Okay,
Okay, now.
thanks.
Okay, now. All right, now we'll get this over here. Okay, now. It says here that Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Shmuel derive from various psukim that Hashem bestows bracha, blessing upon one's possession only when they are hidden from sight and were never counted or measured. Rashi explains bracha refers to the miraculous expansion and multiplication of a worthy individual's possessions. What does Rashi say with this? He says, yeah, I don't know if he says it here. Yeah, I got it. The fourth wide line of Rashi, in a bracha, Shemit Barach Rabba Ben Yilav, Pusim Balaz, right. The things expand on their own. He says, the once a person measures or counts his produce, this bracha no longer takes effect, and he will not find more produce than he counted. The Chidush HaRim contrasts the term bracha and nes, an item that is miraculously created ex nihilo, or descends from heaven, it means like from nothing, is termed nes, whereas the increase and expansion of an existing item is termed a bracha. Rabbeinu Bachya explains that if a person's produce or money would miraculously multiply after it was counted and measured, it would be a conspicuous and undeniable miracle, and except for rare occasions, Hashem does not perform such conspicuous miracles. In other words, Hashem, in other words, everything, the time, location, things like that. So, if you're counting it, then the only way Hashem could do it is to do an explicit miracle, and it's not going to happen for you. You don't get explicit miracle, but maybe, another type of miracle you could get.
Even the powerful.
Alternatively, well, that's more. Alternatively, the Maharsha suggests that possessions which are publicly visible are not subject to bracha because they're affected by ayin hara, evil eye. All right. Now, he has another piece, though, going on. One second, one second, one second. One second. Yeah. All right. Let me read this other piece so we're connected to it. Now, in Malachim Beis, we read about the miracle performed by Elisha the prophet to save the Shunammite woman from poverty. When the impoverished woman told Elisha that all she owned was a flask of oil, he told her to borrow as many vessels as possible and pour from the flask into the vessels. Miraculously, she was able to fill all the vessels with oil because, regardless of how much she poured from the flask, it remained full of oil. I think, isn't that Daf Torah for Shemini? I think we didn't lay it because we had Parshat Chodesh, but I think it's Daf Torah for Parshat Shemini, right? All right, can you take this question? I just want to see. Anyway, the Radak, citing a Tosefta, writes that Elisha told the woman that she was not obligated to separate maaser from all the accumulated oil, as oil stemming from a miracle is not subject to maaser. The Kli Chemda finds difficulty with Tosefta's assertion that oil stemming from a miracle is not subject to maaser. You bring it over, I'll take a look. Okay, listen. He says, let me take a look. One second. No. It's not the Torah from here. One second. Where is it? One second. Up there, right? So where is that? No. Well, it's one of the half the road. Let's take a look. One second. Which one did you deal with, Michael? Over Yontif? No, I don't think it's over Yontif. I think it's Yontif. One second. We just had it. One second. Look back. It's almost got them. This is with Naaman, this Shabbos. Then we have Yechazin. All right, I'll have to look another time, but it's one of the half the road. One of the half the road. All right. Anyway, so it's not the half Torah for Shemini, but anyway, so so anyway, so the Navi says, you know, what do you have? I have a little oil, so get Kalim and you'll fill the things. So the Radak, citing Tosefta, writes that Elisha told the woman she was not obligated to separate Maaser from all the accumulated oil, because oil stemming from a miracle is not subject to Maaser. The Kli Chemda finds difficulty with Tosef's assertion that oil stemming from a miracle is not subject to Maaser. The above cited Brisa states that before measuring, yeah, all right, so he's going to, this is related to the next Gemara. Okay, let me do the next Gemara and then we'll talk, okay? I'm sorry. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. Now, so, one second. Okay, so we're up to Tana Rabbanan, okay? Around 10 lines down. So Tana Rabbanan, Holy Kolamud Gorno, when a person goes to measure his granary, like Tfuah, in other words, before you go to count it, you have a tefillah to Hashem. They should give a bracha b'vase deinu. In chila mode, and then when he begins to count it, Omer, baruch hashleich bracha b'kri hazeh. This is one, and he's going to say that, I think the Ritva says that it means yishev b'shem malcha, baruch Hashem alkeinu melech ha'olam, madad b'charcha firei, but if he measured the tevuah, and they say also that this bracha is according to Ritva, is only when you're measuring it for purposes of taking Trumas and Maestro, then there's a bracha that Hashem says, I'll give you a bracha, that's the half Torah for Shabbat HaGadol. He says, Madad b'charcha firei, but if he measured it, and then he makes the bracha, I raise that tefillah shav, that's like a bracha l'batala. Hishin a bracha mitzuyah lo b'davar shakul, the bracha is not found, davar shakul, something which is weighed, lo b'davar madud, or something which is measured, Lubidabar Hamanui, so we count it. Elabidabar Simli Mina Ayin. The only thing which is hidden from the eye, Shinemar Yisabashem Yichada Bracha Ba'asamecha. All right, now it's time for our station identification. Let me go back. So he says here like this. Let me get it. All right, the Brisa teaches that before a person measures his grain, he should pray that Hashem bestow Bracha, and he should say, Baruch HaShleich Bracha B'Kriyazah. Rashi in Tanis Tavchet and the Ritva explains this bracha should not be abbreviated, which can be recited in full form with the inclusion of Shemu Malchut, of Shem's name, and you know, Baruch Hashem Melech Ha'olam, and the whole thing should be with the bracha. The Eliyahu Rabba, citing the Ramban, explains this prayer and blessing was enacted primarily for one who measures his crop, for the purpose of taking Truman Mice here. For the Pasuk in Malachi, in Perek Yimel Malachi, that's the bracha of Torah for Shabbat HaGadol, guarantees, are you looking for that Torah? I hope you find it. He says, guarantees a bracha, one who separates the required truma and maaser. He says, is not given, Eliyahu Rabba says, this bracha should not be recited in full with Hashem's name. There is concern the bracha will turn out to be a bracha of Atala, because there's no guarantee that one's crop will be blessed in Chutz La'aretz where maaser is not given. Alternatively, the Maharsha explains, that this bracha and prayer was enacted to counter the detrimental effect engendered by measuring one's crop for the sake of separating maaser. In Chutz La'aretz, where maaser is not separated, there's no need for a special prayer and blessing, because one is not obligated to measure his crops, and thus there's no hindrance to the bracha that Hashem wishes to bestow on the crop. So, in other words, the bracha is only necessary because of measuring the crops, only measuring the crops that I want to take through maaser, but in Chutz La'aretz, you don't do that, so no bracha. Now, then he segues into the thing about the Isha Shunrami with Elisha, and the Radak says that Elisha told the woman she wasn't obligated to take Maaser because you don't take Maaser from oil, which is miraculous. The Kli Chemda finds difficulty with the steps of assertion that oil stemming from miracles is not subject to Maaser. The above cited Brisa says that before measuring counting one's crops for the sake of separating Maaser, one should pray for a miraculous increase in his crops. Kli Chemda asks, according to Tosefta, the exempts miracle produced from Maaser, how could a person ever separate Maaser since a certain portion of one's crops, presumably, a result of Hashem's special bracha, that's supposed to Maaser. In other words, before you count the crops, because you want to take Maaser and you want to take Truma, so you're praying for Hashem to give you a miraculous increase in the crops. And then, presumably, you're going to separate out Truma and Maaser. But he just says that Truma and Maaser isn't taken from where the Radak says, from anything that's miraculous. Since one's crops increase before he measures them, one does not know how much of his produce grew naturally, how much is the result of a miracle. Consequently, one does not know how much Maaser he's obligated to separate, nor does one know which produce to give his Maaser. In the answer, the Kli Chemda explains that the increased produce which came as a result of Hashem's bracha is viewed as an extension of the source produce and has the same halakhic status as the source produce. In the case of Elisha, the flask of oil owned by the Shunammite woman was already tied, Kulin. The new oil, which stemmed from that tithe oil, was therefore exempt from Maaser because of the status of the source oil. In other words, so you start off with a certain amount, and then that increases. So he's saying with the Shunamit, the oil had already been, the Trumas and Maaser had been taken from it. So anything that increased from it is also Patur from it. But normally, he wants to say, and that's why he told her not to take Trum and Maaser from it. But normally, an Achinami would. On the other hand, the increased produce bestowed upon a typical farmer prior to counting and tithing his crops, subject to mice there, since it derives from untithed produce. So, did you find the Haftorah yet? No. I understand this. One second. That's in Sefer Malachim. One second. I'm looking right now. Give me one second. Say again, what? We didn't know it. Yeah. Well, he said something which is samui min ha'ayin, he said, which is hidden from people. That's going with a different malach. In other words, sorry, one second. I thought he had a place where he lifted all the haftaras here, but let me take a look here with Elisha. One second. Oh, he doesn't have Elisha here. One second. You know which has it? Oh, here I got it. Okay, now we'll figure this out. One second. Here he's got Shabbos Kodesh. Special occasions. Oh. I don't want a special occasion. All right, I'm going to have to look later on. All right, let's go on. All right, unless Yosef finds it. But I don't think, I don't. It's not a special occasion. It's one of the weekly Haftarahs. Let's see back on the Gemara. All right, I'm going back on the Gemara. Okay, let's take a look. So, we're 5 lines before it gets wide. I'm in Beis Amid Aleph. So, it says, Amar Shmuel, Safi Melem Shmira LeBakarka. Shmuel says that money, the way to guard money, the standard way to guard money is you dig a hole and you bury the money. That's the standard way to do Shmira for money. And we had that earlier in the Gemara as well. He says here, Amar Rava. Rava says, Modi Shmuel, but Shmuel concedes, or he says, the Erev Shabbat Ben HaShmashot, let's say Reuben gives Shimon money, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShmashot, right before Shabbos. The Lo'atrahu Rabbanon. In other words, the Chachamim warned Matriach Shimon to go dig, right before Shabbos. The Ishaha, the Motzai Shabbat Shir Mikvarinu, below Kavrinu, but if on Motzai Shabbos, let's say it takes a half hour to do the digging or whatever, he delays burying the money for the half hour, mechayev, and then something happens to the money, then he's chayev because he should have done it. V'itzur b'mirabananhu, but if the person who gave him the money, if Reuben was a talmid chacham, then Shimon is in his rights not to bury the money immediately. Savar dimli mibaylei zuzi b'abdalta. He says maybe the person will require money for Abdallah. Now, everybody makes Abdallah, but it means that he'll want to make Abdallah with wine, and wine may have been a little more expensive as Manchazal than today, whereas other people might listen to other people saying Abdallah, or maybe you could say other people to make Abdallah on beer or something like that, but the Talmid Chacham wants to make Abdallah on the wine, so there, then he can delay, and he can delay it the whole month, say Shabbos, because he thinks that Reuben may come to the task for the money. But now the Gemara says, today, more recently, they have these people who probe the earth with sticks or rods. He says, "Ein l'mshmira el b'shmei korah." So now the standard has changed. In other words, when the robbers get onto you and they get more technologically advanced, so it's a different way to do shmira. So he says the shmira is b'shmei korah. You keep it on the rafter, like in a building or something like that. But in the shmira kamai, and then the Gemara says, "Yeah," but then the robbers get up to it. Now they're boring holes in the roof and they're stealing the money. So now the only way to keep the money safe is Beni Urbe between the bricks. It means like they would have 2 rows of bricks in the wall and you keep it in the wall between the rows of bricks. Amar Rava, Rava says, Moda Shmuel Bekotel. We haven't been a crown up, but the Marshal takes those words out. In other words, Shmuel concedes that you don't have to keep it between the bricks. You could just bury it in the wall. He says, in the Shchichit Vochayim, but now the Gemara says people have become expert on like banging around and hearing like where there's a cavity in the wall or whatever. In the Shmira the Tefach HaSimuchel Karka. So the only way is to keep it in the wall, but the Tefach HaSimuchel Karka, he says, O Tefach HaSimuchel Shmei Kora, or the Tefach that's near the beam, there the banging doesn't reveal where it is. So Amar Le Rabba Afad
in the wall.
Or the wall of the ceiling. So Amalei Rav Achbar, Rav Yosef, Rav Ashi, Hatam Tanan, over there we learn in Masechet Pesachim, Chametz Shnaflama Polet, we have Chametz that, like, say, I don't know, a wall fell on it or something like that, Areyu Kimavuar. So that's like as if it's destroyed. You have to dispose of your Chametz, for a certain time on Erev Pesach, but if you had Chametz and then the whole wall or collapsed on it, so I don't have to worry about it. He says, Rav Shmuel Lemer, Kol Shein Akilav Yechol Lecha Pesach Arav. Shmuel says that if it's buried so much that a Kelev would not, be able to search for it, then you're okay. V'tana kama chapisat Kelev. V'tana taught in a braisa, how much is the shear that the dog would search for something? Shosha tfachim, three tfachim, meaning if something is buried three tfachim in the ground, then the more the dog's not going to detect the three tfachim or deeper. So up to three, he'd check. There's different, I got to help somebody who's not muting themselves. Let me help out people. One second. All right. Now, there's different, Rahman Islam, funeral. So, ideally, the Jewish people should bury the person. In other words, like you go to the Beis HaKavarot and the cemetery workers have done a hole when you get there. And then you lower the Aron, then Jewish people should cover the Aron. But how high do they need to cover it? So I think the Torah shita is you have to build like a mound over it. So it's like the dirt. So it's a lot of work to do that. Sometimes it's a zillion people to funeral. Everybody's doing a couple of shovels, but it works out quickly. But sometimes it's not a lot of people. And there's a ton of work with this, with the dirt. So there's different shearing, but the most lenient shear is three tefachim. In other words, if the Aron is covered with three tefachim, it's from this halacha that the dog wouldn't search for anything that's more than three tefachim. So sometimes you don't have a lot of people, but and even the three tefachim isn't so easy to do because you got to fill it up all over the place with the three tefachim. I remember this Rabbi Dworkin said for the bracha, he mentioned that. All right, anyway, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says hachamai. So now let's say when it comes to the money, how deep is considered the standard to bury the money? Do I require three tefachim if I'm burying money for shmirah purposes? So this is the question that Rav Acha said to Rav Yosef, says Rav Ashi. So Amalei Rav Ashi said back to him, when it comes to the chametz, and the dog's looking for the chametz, we need three tefachim so he won't be able to send out the chametz anymore. Here we want to make sure it's covered so people can't find it. He says, we don't need three tefachim. Bekamas, how much do you require? So Amar Rav from Yisichra, tefach. One tefach would be the standard of care with burying the money. Okay? Now, Nahu Gavra, the Afgid Zuzi Gabi Chabre. Now, we had this Gemara previously as well. It was a certain person, let's say Ruben gave money to Shimon. Otvinu Betzrifa de Urbani. Shimon put it in this hut, like this hunter's hut. It was like, it's a hut made out of willow. And he says, and Ignor, it got stolen. Now, the Gemara is going to explain, in the hut, he is a Shomer Chinam. So he's Chayav for Geneva, he's Chayav for Pshia, and he's not Chayav for Geneva Veda, but he has to, do it Kederach HaShomrim. So somewhat, paradoxically, leaving in the hut is Shmira for Geneva, because the Ganav would never think to look in the hut for the money. That's But it's Pshia because the hut is burned down like a match. the whole thing's gone. So it's Pshia. In one hand, it's Pshia, but on the other hand, it's Shmira. So, but in this case, the money got stolen. The money did get stolen. So Amar of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, putting in the hut, even though this would be ganavim, he didn't have a shmira, but in terms of the thing burning down, that was pshi, that was negligence. He says, the Toba pshi was sofa ba'onis, and this we discussed earlier. So it's really just less than a week ago we did on Lam and Bav, but it feels like a long time, the Yomi cycle. So yeah, the Toba pshi is, so he's a Shomer Chinam. He's leaving it in the hut. That's pshia because it could burn down. And he's chayvan. And that's considered pshia. The sofa ba'onis. So here, this is an important Rashi, I think. 5 lines to the bottom. Sofa ba'onis shari nigdavu ugnevu the shomer chinam onisu. In other words, it got stolen, but means he's patur on it. That's like vis-a-vis the shomer chinam onis. So chayv. So he wants to chil tov pshia sofa ba'onis. He wants to learn that he's chayv. So it means that with the Geneva. But even though the Matthias is at the end of the day got stolen, but had he not left it in the hut, it never would have gotten stolen. He had no business leaving the hut because it's Pshia vis-a-vis the fire. That's the first Malach. The Ikadamri, others say, someone say, look, you're right, it was Pshia vis-a-vis fire, but at the end of the day, he had Shmir vis-a-vis Ganabim, because the Pshia was so far on his Patur. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, is chayav. Okay, all right. Now, you find the haftorah yet, or you didn't find it? All right. 1 minute. Hold it off. So, you know what? You know, wait. I got it. I you know where it could be. I tell you the place it could be. Wait. Let's see. Okay. All right, I got it. Yeah. Anyway, so it's the haftorah for parshas Vayera with the oil. Right. So over there, it's this one incident with the kalim, and then you see it was a little tricky. In other words, the wife of Obadiah complains about the oil, and then later on, there's a separate incident with this Isha Shunamit. Shunamit is the woman who didn't have a kid. Not the oil. The oil is not the Isha Shunamit, but that was it. It's the part of the Haftorah Vayera. Right. So, right before that Haftorah, they have about the woman with the oil and the whole thing. All right, now. Let me just do this little piece. This really is similar to what we had done about a week ago. The Gemara tells of an incident in which a custodian was given money for safekeeping, and when the owner returned for his money, the custodian informed him that he did not recall. Oh, we didn't get up to this thing yet. Okay, that's the sofa onus. Let me see this. And then this, let me see what else they have here. All right, we'll do one further. Now, he says, okay, what's going on? Now, 4 lines at the bottom. Who gavra the afkin suzi gabi chavre? So there's a person, let's say Reuven, he gave money to Shimon. Amarle havli suzai. He says, I want my money back. Amarle lo yadana hechotinu. He says, I got it. I just don't know where it is. I put your money away, but I just don't know where the money is. He says, atzal kami de Rava. So he comes for Rava for a din Torah. Amarle kolo yadana pshutahi. He says, if you don't know where it is, that's pshia, that's negligence. Zil shlim, you got to pay him the money. Well, in other words, he could have the money, and he just doesn't know where he put it. You know. Well, you know, maybe
one time,
right, or something like that. All right, now, okay, all right, now on this, he's got he's about this thing, lo kol yadana. So a question many commentators ask that we find though the context that forgetting is not considered negligence. We went over this a week ago, but it was from the other sheet. For example, the Shulchan Aruch rules that a person who missed davening, if he figured he had more time than forgot, is permitted to make a missed prayer because forgetting is considered to be an onus. So why is it an onus over by tefillah if I forget? And here it's called pshia. In other words, here it's in other words, here we're saying kolo yadana pshutahi. Right. If he doesn't know where the item is, it's considered negligent. So they say that in other contexts, forgetting is not considered negligence. was by tefillah, if I forgot to daven, so I could, I have an opportunity to make it up. I have an opportunity to make it up. So the Shvus Yaakov suggests that on the normal, we went through this a week ago. So here, let me read it here. So, one second. No, that's not the issue. The idea is that is forgetting shuta, is that negligence, or is it not negligence forgetting it? So it's, well, No. Let's say mincha. Let's say I had from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock to daven mincha, and I didn't daven mincha. So is that shia? Is that negligence? In which case, I don't have the opportunity to do tashlumin, or is it onus? Like it was beyond my control, and I do have a chance to make tashlumin. So we paskin that forgetting is like onus. So how come here we paskin forgetting is like shia? That's what we say in our sugya. And over there we say it's like onus. So over here, this is from the Aladaf. So Shvus Yaakov, when he asks this question, explains that even though in general forgetting is not considered negligence, a shomer is duty bound not to forget where he placed the pigado. In other words, he's one of it. That goes to the essence of being a shomer. In other words, I'm giving you a shomer that's the job, right? The shomer accepts responsibility to guard the pigado against theft and damage. He assumes the obligation to hide the pigado in a place where he's certain to find it. There's a chance that the shomer might forget the hiding place and must hide the pigado together with his own valuables or keep a record of its whereabouts. The shomer neglects to do so and forgets where he hid the pigado, and he's considered a poshea. So it means that in Achinami, forgetting is normally not considered to be pshia, but by a shomer, under those circumstances, it is considered to be pshia. Then he had the other pshat was from the nesivus. The nesivus said that he has to pay for it not because it's pshia, but he's a mazik biadayim. In other words, if I took the person's chetza, which he's doing, let's say I take his money, and now I put it someplace, and I don't know where it is, so I am now a mazik biadayim. So that's why I'm chaya for, because I'm a mazik biadayim. Not because forgetting is shia, but because it was masik yadayim. So the first part works better with words, but the nesiva says I'm a masik yadayim. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara now. Okay, 3 lines from the bottom. Ahu gavra dafki zuzi gabi chavre. So Reuven gave money to Shimon, ashlamin leime, and Shimon gave the money to his mother, to Shimon's mother. And she, the mother, put it in a chest. The ignob, and then the money got stolen. So Amarava, so Rava said, how are they supposed to sort out this fact scenario? If we say to Shimon, you owe her the money, and let's look at Rashi, that's Rashi, namely the Shomer Shemasel Shomer Chayav. We spoke about this earlier. Right. Remember, we said that. Right. It says your Neman was the Shuas me. The other one's not Neman to me. I don't remember, but so it's on Lamed Hey. Look on Lamed Hey, and I'll go back to it. So he says so maybe Reuben Rishon Shimon should be Chayav because he gave it to somebody else. So Amar. So the Amar top line, so if we would say that to Shimon, you had no business giving it to your mother, so Shimon could respond and say that whenever somebody gives property to somebody, it's with the understanding that that person might give it to the other members of his household, which would be like his wife and his kids. Let's take a look at the top line of Rashi. So, in other words, he's trusting the whole household. I guess in this case, the mother was part of the household. He says, and then the second line, namely the ime, if we say to the mother, zili shlimi, in other words, you should pay the money because you didn't bury the money. You didn't keep the standards of shmira. You didn't bury it. You just put it in this chest. Amra, so she'll say back to us, lo amarli, or the mother did say back, would say back to me, lo amarli de la bidaininu, my son didn't tell me it wasn't his money, the akbarinu. In other words, I was under the misimpression that it's Shimon's money, my son gives me money, I thought it's his money, so I didn't feel necessary to bury it. Name Elaine, and then if we say to the shomer, am I lo amarli, why didn't you tell her, Amar Koshkein the Chiyamina law, the dinin in who it's famous da Rabu. I thought if I say it's my money, the Shomer says, I thought she'll be even more careful with my money. So what do we do in this case? So Elamar Rabba, Mishtaba Iu Dana Uzuze Ashtaminu Leime. So Shimon has to take a shur that he gave the money to his mother. Umishtaba Ime Dana Uzuze Ofina Bukartalita. And the mother takes a shur that she put it in the chest. Vignov and it got stolen. Upatur. And then she's Patur, he's Patur. Everybody's Patur. Okay? Everybody, questions? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good?
So it means the test is good Shmira.
Say again, what?
So it means the test is good Shmira.
No, I don't think that is the case. The test was not good Shmira, but she was acting under a misapprehension of the facts that the money really belonged to her son.
Yeah, but again, doesn't he have a hischaivus to see that it has proper Shmira? And say, and by the way, I'm asking you to take care of this and bury it or do whatever has to be done.
Yeah, so he said he thought if he told her it's his money, the mother would be even more careful with it. So he didn't
quite work out that way.
No, it didn't. Anyway, but everybody's off the hook. Okay, now, all right, he's got a number of pieces here. You know, he's got a whole piece about a Malava Malkamil that goes to the earlier Gemara about the waiting for the guy because he wants the wine. And then there's also Raya from our from this. Well, let me cover a little more ground and we'll get to it. And then this Chitoba Shiva Sofa Onis, he also has some interesting Torah on that. All right, let me go for a little bit further. And then if we have time at the end, we'll do a little bit more with some of this other stuff. And then he's also got a story here about the investments. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now we're around line six on Mendez number days. Everybody with me? Ahu apatropa diatme. So you have an administrator for Yatomim. Dizavalhu tor liatme. He purchased an ox on behalf of the Yatomim. So he's taking care of the whole estate. They're not in a position to take care of the estate. They're underage. So he, with the estate money, he purchased an ox for them. He says, umasre the bakara. And he gave the ox to a herdsman to take care of. Lo habule kache vishine. So unbeknownst, I guess, it's going to come out. So the ox didn't have molars or teeth, l'meichal, whom eat, and the ox died from starvation. So Amar Rami Bar Chama. So now the question is, what are the rights and liabilities of all the parties in this instance? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, heichi nidanu dayani l'haidina. How should the dayanim, you know, sort out this fact scenario? Namely, the apotropos, gilshlim, if we say to the apotropos, you owe money to the estate. Because you negligently gave over the shore and you didn't tell the Bakara that he has no teeth or whatever. Says Amar, he would say, the Apotropos would say, another Bakara Misarte, I gave it to this herdsman. And Rashi says that on the third white line, in other words, the herdsman should have said he's not eating, you know, should have notified me that my ox isn't eating or the ox isn't eating. Namely, the Bakara is Yilshlim, if we tell the herdsman to pay for it, Amar, he'll say, I put his ox together with all my oxen. He says, Ukla Shadaile, I gave it food. Lo habayin and lo achal. I didn't realize it wasn't eating. There was all the food got eaten up. I didn't realize this ox was not eating. So the Gemara says, Michti, Bakara Shomer Sakar Diatnehu. At the end of the day, let's put everybody in the category. So the Bakara is a Shomer Sakar. For the Yatomim. In other words, even though the Apotropos is acting as an eighth for the Yatomim, and he's paying money for the Bakara to take care of the ox. So the Bakara is a Shomer Sachar for the Yatomim. So he, the Bakara, should have looked into the situation. In other words, so the Bakara is the one who's at fault. The Bakara is at fault for not looking about whether the ox was eating or not. So now the Gemara says, so if anybody's liable, it's the Bakara is the one who's going to be on the liable. So Ikapsid Yatme Hakanami. So the Gemara says, if there would be a loss for the Yatomim, you're right, the Bakara would be liable. Bakabai is seen, what's the case here? Lekka Psed Yatme. There is no loss, you can tell me why. Dashkahu Lamari de Torah, Shakl Yatme Zuzemine. Because they found the seller of the one who sold them the ox, and they were able to collect the money from him. He says that it was a mekach tau. So they got the money back, and the Yatomim remained whole. So Rashi says on the second narrow line. The Ashkin Lamari the Torah Mocher, Shatta Damai, the Amilei Mechach Tavu. It was a Mechach Tavus, so they got the money back. So if that's the case, the Laman Katayin. So we had the case before that came. So who is the Toyin? Who is the plaintiff in this case? In other words, the Atonement were made whole, and the seller paid the money out, but who's the one who's towing here? So the Gemara says, Mare de Torah Katayin. In other words, the owner is the one who has the taina. He says, Ibaile lo oduan. In other words,
yeah.
Right. So in other words, the owner has a potential claim against the Bakara. The Bakara is the one who's at fault. But fortunately, it worked out for the Atomim that the owner paid the Atomim. He refunded the price to them. So that's taken care of. But now, the seller is, you know, like a hole in his pocket. He's out the money. So he wants to say that the seller is going to sort of like be like in the shoes of the Atomim to make a claim against the Bakara. In other words, he's gonna like be subrogated to the rights of the Yitomim slash the Apotropos to make a claim against the Bakara. That's what we want to say. We'll see in a minute. So he says, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, oh, I just want to, in other words, so it's Mechach Taos vis-a-vis one or the other, but now, in other words, vis-a-vis the buyer and the seller, says Mechach Taos, they have to refund it to you. But now, in terms of the damage that the animal died, in other words, the Mechach Taos didn't have any teeth. But now, vis-a-vis the, I got a dead animal, so he wants to collect it from the Bakara. So he says, Elaman Katayin, Mare de Torah Katayin, Ibaile la'oduan. So he says, One second. Right. So he's saying that the apotropos should have notified me that the animal wasn't eating. He says, so Ibaile, so he says, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Elaman Katayin, Mari Torah Katayin, Ibaile lo duan. So my Modi'inanai, Maida Yada, what am I supposed to notify about? He knows that this animal does have teeth, the Mechach Tawad Habe. So the Gemara says, Besapsra, Zabin Lehacham, Zabin Lehacham. We're talking about Sapsra as a middleman. In other words, he's turning over a quick buck. In other words, he buys the ox that day and he sells the box that day and the ox. In other words, so he's like flipping over merchandise right away. So he really didn't know the whole story with this ox. In other words, he bought the ox at 9 o'clock in the morning and he sold it at 11 o'clock that morning. That's the way he does business. So he didn't know one way or another. He says, so the seller has to ensure that he didn't know anything about this teeth being missing. But the Bakara, the herdsman, is going to have to pay a discounted rate for the meat. Okay? Now, let's just see a little bit with Rashi on this. And then, you know, I thought I would zip through this whole Gemara, and I see it takes longer than I thought. That's typical. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. Look in the Rashi, the 10th narrow line. Mishalim Bakara Demi Basar Bezol. Everybody with me? Well, we'll see how far we go. Vitamiani Minayin L'Rami Bar Chama Din Zeh. He says, Rashi says, I'm wondering, where does Rami Bar Chama get this whole din that the seller, the Sapsara, is able to collect money from the Bakara? Malo the Sapsira Ima Roe. What does the Sapsira have to do with the Roe, the Bakara, the same thing? Lo Shomer Shalohu. It's not his Shomer. There's no privity of relationship between the two of them. It says, Venerally, so he actually says, it seems to me, Dimanitin, the Hasoker, and the Bach Brexit, we have the Soker Parame Chavero, the Hishila Acher, who may take a darker. Do you remember we had the Mishnah on Lamed Hay? Reuven owns a cow. Shimon leases the cow from him, and then Shimon loans the cow to Levi. And then the cow dies, let's say, from Ones. So the Shoel owes money for it. So there was a machloket, if you remember, between the Chum and Rabbi Yossi. Chum says that the Shomer Sachar is not Chayav and Onsin, but the Shoel is Chayav and Onsin. So the Tanakhama says the Shoel is going to pay money to the Shomer Sachar, and the Shomer Sachar is off the hook. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't make sense that the socher is making business with somebody else's animal, so the shoel is going to pay the money directly to the owner, to Reuven, even though the Levi had no dealings with Reuven, but he's going to pay the money to Reuven. He says, the Kama Rabbi Yossi, Atzir Par Lebalin, Rukim Nalak Rabbi Yossi, Alma, Afapishin Balin Bali Dvarm Shoshoel, even though the in other words, the owner has nothing to do with the Shoel, but Socher, Shulo Bal Dvarim, Minu Chaser Klum, and the Socher is not on any money, Tre Paturba Onsim, since nevertheless the socher has a right of claim against the shoel, so it means that the original owner or the owners, they stand in the, you know, they're subrogated to the rights of the socher and are able to extract the money from the shoel. So similarly here, the yitomim are the ones who have a right, a claim against the roa, against the shepherd, against the bakara, to shomer sachar shlehem. Yamdu ba'alim makom yitomim. So instead, means ba'alim means like the seller will stand in the feet of the yitomim, the govin, and he'll be able to collect. Now, umiu ihab mach the yitomim ve'osep shara b'mamo and the yitomim l'shalem b'zol. He says he's making a little bit of a pshara here, like a compromise in the din, because we said that the Bakara is going to pay money, but at a reduced rate. At a reduced rate, which really is 2/3 of the value of the meat. So he says, if the injured party had really been the Yitomim, so Rami Bracham would not have issued this thing about a pshara. He says, the Yitomim, they're not subject to being mechila, as we have to protect their rights. Here we're collecting on behalf of the Baalim, and there's not such Shia, the Amar, Baditurai, Kim Tim Chule. In other words, the Bakara has somewhat of a defense. He said, I put the animal with my animals. I didn't know it was an eating or whatever. He tilp Shar Ben Ayam, Lo Yishan Kudme Ashur, Kot Shuchai, Ela, or Yazir the Baalim, he'll give the high back to the Baalim, means the seller. Rabasar Shamim, Shalom Shane Shlishim, he'll pay 2/3 the rate with the meat. The Echad Amin Vigmar, Mishalim Bazol, so he pays 2/3 the rate. That's the way Rashi learns. And if you look at Tosfos, third to last Tosfos, the Mebasar Bazol, everybody with me? Here's Rashi, he tilp Sharabini, and the Rabbi Rakama introduced a compromise between the parties. Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, the Din Gamurhu. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's absolute din. Dimayamo Dio, Ayav Safsura Shoktom Yad, Umokro Bazol. In other words, if they would have notified the seller that the animal was not eating because it didn't have teeth, they would have returned the animal to the seller, and the seller would have immediately sold it at a discount rate to be shechted. In other words, he himself would have suffered a loss. He wouldn't have waited around with his animal because the animal's not eating. So he would have sold it off, and it would have been a reduced rate. Okay, get a shem to Gemara, then we'll take some other things up as time may permit. Okay. So let's take a look, 10 lines from the bottom. Ahu gaber the afti kshuta gabe chavre. It was a certain person, Reuven, he left hops. Hops is like a plant that used to brew beer. He says, Reuven leaves the hops with Shimon. Havale the didi nami carried the kshuta, but Shimon also had a pile of hops that were his own hops. Havale the sarse, Shimon the shomer said to his attendant, Mehai Rami, I want you to take from my pile of hops and, you know, brew some beer. Azal Rama Meida. But instead, he, the attendant, went and took from the pile of hops that had been entrusted to Shimon the Shomer. So now, what's the din? So Amar Rav Amram, taking Nidainu Dayani Lahidina, how did the Yadim going to sort out this case? Namely, the Dide Zil Shlim, he says, if we say to Shimon the Shomer, you owe money because you were negligent, he'll say, Amar, Ana Ami Levi, Hai Rami. I told him, take from this pile. I didn't tell him to take the other pile. He's a loose cannon. Namely, the Sar says, Zil Shlim. Then we say to the attendant, you owe the money. Amar, Lo Amar Levi, Hai Rami, Behai Lower Tirme. He didn't say, take from this and don't take from this. So, like the Ritva says, I sort of quoted that he thought it's just an example. Like, take from this one, you can take from the other one. Take, you know, and but good, just brew the beer. Now, so the Gemara says, "V'id the shah shir li tuyelei lo aitilei." Now, if let's say the two piles were not equidistant from where they were located, let's say it takes 5 minutes to get to the entrusted pile, and his whole pile is a minute away, and the guy goes off for 5 minutes. He says Vidashar Shirli Twile below item. So after a minute passes, he doesn't show up with the hops. So Galiadite Denichale. So then that would be, you know, reveal to us that he, the Shomer, was happy with that action. So the Gemara said, "Lo shaha." No, the Sarsay didn't delay. Everything was chick chock. So the Gemara says, "Sof sof, my pesay to Ethan." So at the end of the day, what loss is there really involved with this whole situation? In other words, Shimon the Shomer, he made a profit on the whole situation. In other words, he brewed the hops that belonged to Reuven into beer, and now the beer is worth much more money. So why can't he convert that and pay him back? He says, look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Right, I'll give back my hops and the beer. Everybody, no harm, no foul. Everybody's better off. So Amar Rav Sama brings Rava Dahu Shifra Chalam. So Rav Sama says that the shefar had turned to vinegar, right? The one he made, and that's the one he made with the friend's hops. Rav Ashi Amar the Kisei. Rav Ashi said the friend's hops had like thorns mixed in it, and it came out to a lousy brew of beer. So the Gemara says the Mishalim Lei to make Kisei. So he's going to have to pay him back like the amount of improvement. In other words, if it was with these thorny hops, he's going to have to pay what, in other words, the benefit that was conferred is what he's going to owe to the original shomer. So if, as a result of brewing this beer, and now there's like a certain profit, it's a certain profit margin, so the profit margin is what he has to get it back, but not much more. What? There is some. In other words, the beer is worth something if it's got the thorny beer. The thorny hops made like an inferior type of beer. So there is something like that. He says he pays the amount by which the value of the beer increased through the introduction of the hops. He says the beer improved, albeit to a small extent, although the introduction of the since certain benefit from the amount, he must pay it. Now, the first shot, if he says that it would turn to vinegar, he doesn't know what but that story. But the point of the second story, he knows a little bit. Okay, let me talk about a few things, and then we'll be at the today. All right. So first, let me do a story, and then we'll see what else we got doing. So we mentioned about dividing the portfolio into thirds. A certain Jewish investment broker went out of business. Okay, a certain Jewish investment broker went out of business. He lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of other people's money, often their entire life savings. Sounds like Bernie Madoff. Unfortunately, some young men also invested every cent they had based on this man's assurances and became destitute with the loss. Many people felt pained by the predicament of these Bnei Torah, since some had large families and absolutely no means of supporting them. But when Ramosha Feinstein Sassal heard about this, he was very upset at their foolishness. As Alambav Matsia Membeis tells us that what we should do with any capital we have. A third of the money should be left liquid, a third in hand, a third in investment. Really, one should never sink it all in one place for this very reason. Although one who violates the rabbinical prohibition is a sinner, it is definitely possible that one who stubbornly refuses to listen to Chazal's advice is worse. In other words, here you want to say, well, it's not an Easter to do this, but this is the eights that Chazal give. But if Moshe wants to say, you don't follow the eights of Chazal, it's even worse than the Easter. He says, how could they have felt they were smarter than Chazal? These people are learned and surely knew Chazal's advice. It would be a good idea to check into their ideological leanings. So in other words, if you see somebody who knows this Gemara, and notwithstanding that, he's got the Chokhmah, and he's doing his own thing, so you have to check into his Emunot. In other words, he says, Abelchanan Wasserman Zitzal would say from the Chafetz Chaim Zitzal, if a person is in a quandary regarding what to do, he may be shocked to hear that he can ask Hashem, what, how is this possible? The standard person would likely reply. You can tell him that in addition to the mitzvahs and aveiros recorded and explained in the Torah, you also find advice regarding all the important issues of life. For example, regarding money, Chazal tells us to split what one has and to invest in three portions. One is not obligated to do this since it's just advice, but is the tried and tested advice of Chazal to ensure that one does not lose everything he has. Rabbi Chanan would add, you know, I'm thinking with that Bernie Madoff thing, I don't want to give names, but there was somebody, you know, involved with investing at YU, and it was at the YU, the portfolio was diverse. But he thought, you know, why diversing it? I mean, this is the best return on this money. So I'll put everything with Madoff, and then the yeshiva suffered, you know, mightily as a result of that. So Rav Elchanan would add, if one person tells his friend Okay, no, but the Wayu was different. In other words, the other people got the benefit from the clawback, but if you weren't an individual investor, you were just, I don't know, like somehow with the yeshiva, that somehow they didn't work that way. If one person tells his friend that his face is dirty, and another person says that his face is really clean, the confused man would surely seek out a mirror to see for himself. The Torah is our mirror. When one has questions, the first thing you should do is look at what the Torah says. You know, I remember similar, like Rav Elkanan, he talks about, and he's got one article about like Hitler, like this in the 30s, he wrote an article, and he says like Hitler had this meteoric rise, and he says people say how is this, how the other. He says it's just like you look at the Pesukim and Chumash, and they tell you, you know, this is, you know, like this is what's going on. And anyway, so now the all right, now one more last thing, or maybe this is a minute or two. All right, I think. Well, I'll just say a little prat here about Tzitzit of Pshia Sofo Ba'ones, but it doesn't just apply to like literally Pshia and Ones by Shomer. There's an incident where a woman, this is over 100 years ago. She fled the house, and she had refused to accept the get from the husband. In other words, the marriage is going downhill. She refused to accept the get from the husband, and she fled the household. So nobody knew where this one went. They didn't hear anything or know anything from her. And the husband wanted to get a heter me'a rabbanim to permit him to marry somebody else, even though he's married to the first woman. So, well, the thing is, like, but with heter me'a rabbanim, you could override it with heter me'a rabbanim. So he says that the people who questioned it said, look, the woman could have been captured or, you know, to be in a place against her will, even though she had left initially of her will, but who knows what's become of her, and she might still be refusing to accept the get, in which case there's no reason to override the Iser of Gershom. So he quotes from Maharsham, he says that even if they're correct that that's the situation, it's still like Tzitzit v'Shiyah v'Sofo Ba'ones. It's still like, in other words, Tzitzit v'Shiyah, that Malin, since initially she bolted, and so then we have to view it like, even if it's Sofo Ba'ones, the husband can still do the heter me'a rabbanim. He says, yeah, her initial disappearance was due to her own Shia. In other words, that's her own cheshbon. So afterwards, not. All right, that's it. One second. One second.